Welcome to Talk Music with Will Dorsey Jr. Every week, our host Will is going to interview musicians from around the world and talk everything music. Our listeners range from professionals to recreational musicians who want to learn more about the industry, their instruments, and the community of top musicians. So join us, subscribe, and keep up with Talk Music. And now, live from his studio upon the mountaintops of Southern California, here's Ill Will himself, Will Dorsey Jr.
Today's episode is brought to you by our sponsor, eRecord Studio. The new way musicians rehearse, record, and share their eRecord sessions on social media. Visit ERS on eRecordStudio.com. Download this amazing app on Google and Apple App Stores. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to introduce to you guys a friend of mine, Jonah Nimoy. What's up, Jonah?
Nothing much, Will. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. I miss you, man.
I miss you too, dude. I really miss you. I know you've graduated. You've moved on to some pretty big things, you know, and we miss you out there, but I'm happy man. For you.
Well, thanks, man. Thank you for being on the show. I definitely appreciate it. And I want people to know about you more because, dude, you're so talented. I'm just blown away by your, you know, all the things that you can do. You know what I mean? So it's just like, I just want people to know about you. So that's the reason why I want to interview you. Can you tell, like our people on Talk Music, about what you've been up to lately?
Oh man! Well, first off, thank you for having me, Ill Will Dorsey. Always, always a pleasure when I get to see you. Always awesome.
Oh man!
Yeah, man. It's been a busy year coming back to the world a little bit post pandemic life, a little post during whatever. But you know, been out on the road, being multi-instrumentalist guy for The Offspring, which mm-hmm. is how I know you after yes. all these years. I play guitar, I do vocals, keys, and percussion, and occasionally I'll get behind the kit, as will you. You and I both. We've rotated, you know, our positions have moved quite a bit, but we've done the acoustic shows together, which have been really fun with you on percussion.
Man, that's a blast, man. You know,
it's so fun. You know, it's like, it's so laid back and, you know, it's such an intimate setting too. So mm-hmm. it's always so cool when we get to do that. But besides that, you know, I've been working on a few other things. We're getting ready to go on a pretty big run. We start an 8-week run. In about a week and a half, we leave a week from this Friday and doing 5 weeks in Canada and then straight from Canada down to Australia for 3 weeks. And then we've got a one-off in Portland, I believe. And then that's it for the year. December 20th, I think, is our last show. And wow. our first show is Halloween nights. So, yeah, it's going to be a busy one. It's going to be big, but I'm really excited. And since I've been home for the last month, I've taken on a couple other projects. I do illustration work as well, you know, in between music stuff. And I've been active with that for the last 8 years or so. And I've been in an art show and I actually just finished recording a new solo EP about a week ago. I'm doing a hardcore, my new hardcore outfit. We'll see what happens with it. But I wrote a few songs and tracked it. So
I want to hear this, man.
I know. I actually got to send it to you. You just reminded me. Now I really have to send it to you. I'd love to know what you think.
Man, I can't wait to hear this, man. You know, so can I ask, what are you playing on this record?
So I'm playing everything on this record.
Ooh, me, this myself, what I'm talking about.
This is what I'm talking about, man. Dude, man. That's what I said in the beginning of the show. Multi, like, talented dude right here. You guys don't even know.
Make me blush, dude. Make me blush.
Man, I'm so excited for you, man, to get this out, man. I can't wait to hear it, man. That's what I look forward to, man. I just want to hear you, dude. You know, so.
Oh man, thank you.
Can I ask, you know, like, when is this exactly coming out?
So I'm kind of working it out because I really want to release it properly, you know, instead of just like uploading it onto the internet and have it disappear into the ether forever. So, you know, I'm hoping it'll be out maybe, you know, early next year. I probably would have to wait until maybe February, and I want to have more songs by then. So definitely in the next, you know, within the next six, you know, I don't know, 4 to 6 months, hopefully it would come out. But yeah, I'm really excited. I haven't been this excited about my own stuff in a long time, and like my old music, you know, the stuff that I write. So I'm stoked for you to hear. I'd love to get your input, get your thoughts on it. So
Can I also ask this, like who were your like influences on this record? What made you like want to do this record?
Well, you know, in the last year, there's been like a hardcore renaissance going on, you know, specifically a band I've gotten really into is a band called Turnstile they're blowing up right now. Baltimore band, actually, from your hometown.
Oh man.
You got to check them out. They're blowing up. Yeah. They're really, really good. I saw them like 6 years ago, open for Every Time I Die, another one of my favorite bands.
That's my dudes. And,
yeah, dude. Oh my God. Those guys are just monsters. And so, you know, so I've been listening to hardcore, you know, for a long time. Like I love Refuse. I love Every Time I Die. But then it seemed like in the last year, just these bands are just, you know, popping up, and they've been around for a long time. Of course, you know, the joke that it takes 12 years to make an overnight sensation, you know, these bands have been around for a while. Only now it just seems like they're becoming more prominent, but specifically, yeah, Turnstile was a big influence. And then another band I got really into is a band called Scowl. They're kind of up and coming right now. They're out on tour with the Bronx and the Chats, I believe, right now. And they are fucking awesome. Really rad hardcore band. Yeah. And they're really, really cool. I became friendly with them this last year. And Malachi and Kat, specifically, who I got to meet, are really rad. She's the singer and Malachi's the guitarist. And really cool band. I heard that EP and was just like, this is so like visceral and heinous and evil and just like mad. And I was like, God, it's so fun. You know, it's just so cool that like, you know, this like this punk outfit is like kind of like, you know, making moves these days. And I just got so inspired. I just got really inspired and had so much fun writing the lyrics. You know, I just felt like I could just write whatever I wanted. It felt really raw and just, you know, going forward with it. So that's kind of what got the fire burning under my butt, where specifically Scowl was a big one. And I was like, damn, like I want to write songs like that. That'd be so fun. So, So that's kind of where I'm at with it. Yeah.
So dude, you gotta be screaming in this, right?
Oh yeah. Only screaming. Yeah. All the way. No singing. Yeah. No singing. So
no singing parts. No, come on, man.
Nope. Not one. No, not one. Maybe not ever. And you know, and that's kind of the thing, you know, it's like, I used to scream in a metal band, you know, like in the last 10 years, I was in a metal band. I started out as a front man. I sang and screamed, but this one, that's kind of where I got my start, is like, oh, like, okay, I could scream, you know, and of course, like Randy Blythe, like one of my heroes when it comes to front man, scream, the whole deal. Like when I grew up listening to Lamb of God and was just like, oh my God, like how do you sound like that? He's a monster, you know?
Yeah,
he's incredible. And he's such a good front man. And there was that time we got to hang. That was the first time I met him, actually, when you were filling in with us. And
yeah,
that was such a treat. Cause yeah, I grew up listening to Lamb of God and you know, all those guys. So that for sure was like a big inspiration on my sound of how I've screamed through the years. Randy is like, you know, numero uno for sure. Yeah, definitely.
Man, I already wanted to hear it. I want to hear it even more now. So
I'm talking it up too much. Oh my God.
No. This is what this show is about. I want you to promote your stuff. I want to hear about your music. And that's what, you know, that's what I want people to know you more, man. I just, like I said, I just want people to get to know you.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah, no problem,
you,
dude. So did you have any like training in like any, I know about drums, but I know people, you know, don't know that you're a phenomenal drummer as well. I was just wanted to know like formal training in your music, like playing guitar, doing the singing. I mean, did you get any formal training from that? Because you also sing with the Offspring too. So I just, if you can fill in kind of like those blanks about your training.
Yeah. So I did get professional training as a drummer. I initially started out as a drummer, like we've talked about before. Mm-hmm. I went to LA Music Academy out in Pasadena, which was kind of the idea of the school. It was run by Ralph Humphrey, who played with Frank Zappa and was a big, you know, session guy, did a lot of TV work and film work. And then as well as Joe Picaro, who's like one of the ultimate badasses in the drumming world, you know, like all, like anything from Hawaii 5-0 to the Batman soundtrack. Like he's done it all. So really rad learning from those guys. I never in a million years thought like I would ever be in that like field or just realm, like with these big, you know, players, you know, like that. So
yeah,
really, really, really fun learning from them. I studied jazz there, and you know, I've always been like a punk and metal rock dude. So, you know, it was always kind of a thing like, I don't want to get too much training now. You know, I want to keep it a little rough, you know, but they were super respectful of like my genres. I'd come in with like Gojira drum parts and they would like, you know, give me the time of day and, oh, he's doing like 5-4, blah, blah, you know, all that stuff or whatever. But yeah, so I went there, and then actually while I was at the school studying drums, there was a gospel vocalist offering vocal lessons for people who were in other programs. So, you know, there was a vocal department, guitar, bass, drums, and I think a production department as well. And I was in the drums, but they offered this class for vocals for instrumentalists. And I took it, and Dawn Bishop led the class. She's a you know, gospel singer, like amazing, amazing vocalist. And, you know, my issue was like, my voice would just die after 15 minutes, you know, whatever. I just had bad technique. So she gave me a lot of really good warm-ups, and I took her class 2 years or twice in a row because I was just like so stoked on it. And it really helped, you know, with my keeping my voice up, keeping it in shape, and helping me with pitch and vocal technique and all that, you know, all that stuff. So I got some training there, and then but as guitar, I never really got that much training because I was never great at theory, you know, like I was more just like I learned stuff by ear, where, you know, drumming is, you know, pretty straightforward even when you're learning theory, because it's just like, you know, do da do da, where like guitar, it's like there's a key signature and the treble clef and all, like I was like, I have no idea what's going on. Like that did not compute with me too well. So definitely, yeah, guitar not so much, but like I just learned everything by ear, and you know, that's kind of where I've been at. And yeah, so but definitely mostly drumming and vocals. I've gotten a lot of like help with for sure through the years, because you know, with that stuff, the technique really is important, you know, or else you could just wreck yourself. And you know, I studied with Dave Ilitch for a while, which was really awesome. He, you know, blew my mind. I mean, you know, I didn't know how to hold a drumstick until I met Dave. And, you know, I came into my first lesson and he was just immediately like, yep, you're holding it wrong. Yep. No, wrong. Your tom shouldn't be like that. Put it like that. This and that. So he totally like changed my life. And I studied with him, and then I studied with Greg Bissonette for a long time as well.
Wow.
And yeah, that was awesome, man. That was so fun. But to him and Dave, I literally went back and forth for most of my high school, times. I was through high school. I'd work with Dave. I'd work with Greg, kind of switch off every other week. And Greg was the one who recommended the school. And yeah, really good insight, good and great input. It was just, like these are lessons I've taken with me well into, my career now, still to this day. And they're both so amazing. I learned so much from both of them.
Wow, man. You're just listing some legendary people that you just said. Well, but
I
at
know,
least
right? It's
like Greg Bessonette, like come on, man. That's one of my heroes.
oh,
And
yeah.
I didn't meet Dave Elidge and not until, 2006. Matter of fact, you and I have worked at this place called Guitar Center.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
Our
yeah.
common thing that we have together is Guitar Center, and I met him, through that. But I mean, you got some amazing teachers there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, like, bro, man, that's, oh my gosh, man.
Very lucky, very
Yeah,
fortunate to learn from them.
dude.
Like, it's like, I was just a punk ass teenager, sitting in a room with these legends, just like blowing my mind, every lesson. It was just something, that I, like I said, I've taken with me into life and still utilize to this day. It's just like, oh my God, like getting to
Yeah.
hear all the insight from Greg and working with David Lee Roth to Ringo to, like I used to watch that video of him at the Buddy Rich Memorial.
Oh.
I think it, so it was him and like I might botch this up. It's not, it wasn't Dave Weckl, no, because Dave Weckl, Dennis Chambers, and Steve Gadd did one. But then Greg did one with Louie Bellson.
Yes, that is correct.
And who's the third? I'm blanking on it right now.
Oh my gosh. Was it?
So Louie.
I thought it was Dennis Chambers.
God, maybe it was Dennis Chambers.
Was
Oh
Dennis
yeah, because
Chambers.
yeah, because Vinny Cal, yeah, that's right. It is Dennis. Yeah, that's right. Okay. So Dennis Chambers, Greg, and Louie Bellson. Yeah. Oh my, I mean, I grew up watching that video and then like, I got to talk to Greg all about it, and just trading fours with those. Oh my God. It's so
Man,
cool. So rad.
There's a song that I used to do, and I'm not trying to take away from our interview or anything, but it's a
No,
song
please.
that Greg did called Time Check, with Buddy Rich song called Time Check,
Oh.
and a high school band did that song, and I just about stole every lick that he did on that song. But Time Check, I love that song, I still love it. But anyway.
That's awesome. I'll check that out. That's rad. I don't know that one. Yeah.
Time Check is a great jazz song, man. You'll dig it, and I'm sure you dug all those songs that were on that Buddy Rich Memorial video as well. So if you're a fan of it, man, you'll love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I'm sure I will. Definitely.
Man. So I'm gonna get away from a little bit of this. I want to get something personal. About you. So what keeps you up at night, man?
Anything and everything, let me tell you. No, God, that's a funny question. I definitely get super, super overwhelmed at times with, just stuff right in front of me in my own life. It happens. Everybody's got, the balance they have to find. And God, I mean, there's so many things from my own personal life to the bigger picture. I could go as far as saying, like just the sense, just the utterly senseless and unnecessary violence and hatred in the world really drives me nuts on so many levels, because it's just sad that, we've come to this point where, it's gotten so neck and neck, and it just
Oh my
feels
gosh.
like, it just feels really uncertain, and it's not to sound too like, doomy or anything, because I, because I still believe in humanity sometimes, most of the time not so much, but But no, it's just, you know, things like that. And I always just want to do more, you know, I wish I could do more, and I try my best, you know, to just like be a better person every day and practice compassion and stuff like that. And that does help me sleep at night. It does, because it's like, you know, I just am trying to be my best in a very, very messy, beautiful, big, fucked up world that we live in, you know? So, you know, but sometimes it gets very overwhelming. And then, you know, other things that keep me up at night are like, shit, did I lock my car door? Or like, you know, did I lock up the studio? Did I turn off the AC? Did I leave a candle lit? Like, just, you know, my brain just goes,
right,
you know, everywhere. Me, all over the place. So, you know, stuff like that. And of course, like when I leave rehearsals or like, you know, I've done something, I always, and I know I'm not the only one, always go like, why did I say that? Like, why did I say that stupid thing? You know, like, God damn it. Or I remember something I said, you know, 5 years ago that I wish I could take. It's just like ridiculous, anxious, you know, BS. But that's a good question. That is, because, you know, some nights, like, you know, it hits harder than others, but other nights, you know, I sleep like a baby and I feel really good about where I'm at and, you know, my place in this world. But then sometimes it's like, man, shit, I wish I could do more. You know, I just, bottom line, to answer it as simply as possible, I would say, like, me wishing I could do more, you know, just it all across the board. I want to do more. I want to help out more and be a better person constantly. And that's just kind of, that's what keeps me going. It keeps me up at night. You know, it's a balance. I'm always navigating every day. It's a new challenge. So,
man, I hear you on that, man. How's tour life for you, man?
Tour life is great. It is it's really fun. I mean, these guys are just, you know, absolute beasts when it comes to touring. It's really fun. I mean, you know the deal. We've done many of these together, so it's always a good time. You know, the crew, the band, everyone is so fun and they love being there, which is really, really great, you know. And the band, it's like so rad to be in a band with a bunch of people who like love music, you know. At the end of the day, it's like we're music nerds. I mean, you know, like we're sound checking deep cut Kiss tunes, you know. Like it's the best. It's like, dude, like that's my opportunity when I'm breaking out, like watching you or whatever. It's
gosh, man, I'm gonna miss that so much, man. Anyway,
I know that bummed me out. I know, right. Whoever they got next better know these deep cut Kiss songs, or else they're not gonna be, they'll be on my bad side all the way through and through. No, I'm kidding.
I just, you know, I appreciate, you know, like there's somebody else besides me that had love for Kiss. And me and you both have love for Kiss. I'm glad that it's like, man, we're bros, man. You know, so
dude, it is a funny thing. Like that was like, you know, we were always friends, like immediately, but definitely when, like, because you know me, I've told you, like my limit to Kiss is like Creatures of the Night. I can't really go past that. It's just my preference, like, you know. And but like the Kiss Alive stuff and those first few records are like, you know, like there are some great, great riffs on there. You know, whether you like the band or not, you cannot deny like songs like She and Watching You or Parasite are like, they're like, it's fucking badass. It is. It's totally badass. So, no, it was so fun. I mean, and we did bond over that. I feel like that's a very specific thing that like you either really know about or like, you know, like we talked about the different stages of Kiss, knowing you could just look at their makeup and know exactly what year they were on tour, what album they were supporting, like, you know. And you get it, you know, like myself, you know, we're both nerds in that,
yes,
in that field. Are. But yeah, proud of,
dude, it. Man. I want to let people know right now, this guy plays these songs like it's nothing. Like he knows these songs and every note is correct. And it doesn't even have to be a Kiss song. It could be anything else. It could be a Slayer song. It could be a Pantera song. It could be any other song. And the dude just knows it. And I just want to give it up to you. You know, like you're a badass guitar player, man. You know, so like, dude, even you ripping, you know, like even you ripping and just soloing on guitar, I love it. you know, so like you in Noodles, you know, just balancing it out, man. I'm just sitting there having a great time when you guys are doing that, man.
That's awesome, dude. Thank you. No, and it's so funny. Yeah, and of course we've thrown in some Pantera at our sound checks, and you know, Noodles makes the joke that I'm his guitar teacher and sober coach. I'm way better at one of those things, you know. Not as good at the other, you know, if you had to guess which one. But yeah, man, no, and I appreciate that. Yeah, you know, and it's fun because I will say, you know, being in a band like the Offspring, you know, my shredderific moments, like I don't, you know, I get to do it very often, which is totally fine because it's just, you know, it's what pertains to the gig and the music, and if anything, it's actually taught me to, like, you know, keep it simple, you know, like don't go overboard. People make the joke KISS stands for keep it simple, stupid, you know. It's like that was, you know, that was kind of the thing. It's like simple, man, less notes, that's more true. Hits, you know. So no, and it's so fun, but you know, they've let me branch out. Like you said, we have those moments where Noodles and I get to have a little guitar battle on stage, and you know, I'll do like Eruption or something like that. So
yeah,
it's fun. No, it's super fun,
man. Can you talk about anything about like preparing for shows, like what? Well, the four of you guys, you're preparing for a show. How do you prepare for a show?
Well, you know, it's changed a lot through the years. I definitely, I'll do a light vocal warm up. You know, when you're like playing a show every single night, or at least every other night, every few nights, mm-hmm. you know, like my warm up routine kind of lessens a little bit, just because, you know, I'm so warm still, honestly, from the night before and the few nights before, I'm just kind of like, let's go, let's do it. But definitely, you know, before a show, I'll warm up my hands, because for percussion stuff, I got to have my hands ready and warm, you know, just, you know, pounding the bongos or the congas and my toms as well. So I actually took a couple lessons from a really amazing percussionist, Luis Conte, who's, you know, big, you know, recording session dude through the years. He last was playing with James Taylor, and he's played with Jackson Browne, and he's amazing. And took a few lessons with him just to kind of get my technique right, you know, make sure I was hitting the drum okay. And he gave me some really good warm-ups, because you know, jumping from guitar to drums, very different, you know, approaches. And he even had said at one point he thought it was really cruel that I have to jump from a hand percussion situation to then guitar, because, you know, you got to be kind of like delicate with your left hand, but
yeah,
you know, then you got to smack. But you know, there's kind of, it took a while to find the groove, but in short, you know, I'll just do a light warm up with my hands and my voice as well. And you know, just kind of, you know, it's like I said, it changes. Sometimes I'll pop on a horror movie in my hotel room, and you know, I don't know, like just hang and make sure I get a good meal earlier in the day, so I'm not like, you know, eating too close to showtime. But but yeah, like I said, at one point Todd and I would take like tequila shots before the show,
right?
Which is fun. I think we kind of roped you into a couple of those a few times.
You did.
There, where you're drumming, totally different animal, you know.
It relaxed me, man. You know, so
you know, and there's something to say for that, and it does help, you know, like because when I did my first tour with them, when Greg was still in the band, we would take a shot of whiskey before every show, and it like it helped, you know, like just the one shot, it just kind of like, okay, mellows you out, boom, boom, boom. But in the recent, you know, runs, I haven't done that anymore, just because I do notice it kind of messes with my throat a little bit, singing wise, especially like, you know, something like that. It's like hard alcohol. But yeah, you know, it's, you know, once I get in the swing of things, once we're on the road after like 15 shows, I kind of can keep my warm up pretty minimal. And, you know, like Reese's peanut butter cup, a bottle of water, and, you know, ready to go, you know.
There you go.
I'm a simple man, you know, so I don't, you know, not too complicated,
dude. That's awesome, man. When did you join the band, and how did you find out about they were looking for a second guitarist in this band for the Offspring?
So this was back in 2017, which is when we first met, technically. So, honestly, I didn't even know they were looking for anyone. I knew Todd, who originally was in my position. He was the original, official, unofficial fifth member guy. And basically one day he and I had played a few gigs around Hollywood, doing like cover gigs and whatever else. And we met through our mutual friend Kemble Walters, who produced a few of my earlier things, and
Kimber.
Kemble's a man. He's a old pal of mine, and he was like one of my first like really good friends, like getting kind of into the whole, scene of whatever Hollywood was at that time. And but we had like there was a Nirvana cover band he had, and I'd fill in, and then we had a few other fun things, and then I just happened to meet Todd kind of just, through all of it, because he and Kemble are like best friends. And so Todd, after knowing Todd for like I want to say like a year and a half or 2 years, he calls me one day and he's like, "Hey man, like I need you to sub for me on a gig." And I was like, "Oh, for sure. What's the gig?" He's like, "Oh, it's with my band, The Offspring." And I was like, "Wait, you're in The Offspring? What the fuck, dude? Like seriously?" And he's like, "Yeah, didn't I tell you?" I'm like, "No, you didn't tell me. Like I probably would have known. I grew up on those guys. I grew up on the band." So, and you know how it goes with gigs. Like sometimes you get your name thrown into the hat and then it just does not work out. Like 11 out of 10 times, it doesn't work out. And so I'm sitting here thinking, there's no way this is real. There's no way I'm going to ever like actually get this gig. And I was just waiting to hear from management, didn't hear anything. I didn't know what was going on. And then one day the email came through and they were like, "Can we jump on a call?" and blah, blah, blah. And initially, this was just a sub in because Noodles had a family emergency he had to stay home for on that run. He was unable to come out for this run. So, it was very like bittersweet. It was under very unfortunate circumstances I got my, got to join the band initially, but ultimately I jumped out and Todd subbed for Noodles and I subbed for Todd and did that first run throughout Europe and totally blew my mind. I was like, "Holy moly, this is real. This is actually happening. I'm playing songs I grew up listening to, and I'd loved the band since I was a kid." And so then, so that tour ended, and I was under the impression it was over at that point. It was just kind of just a one-off thing. But I stayed friends with Noodles and Todd, obviously, through all of it, and Pete and I had become good friends at the time. And then fast forward, Todd is moving to bass, and Larry, our old manager, gave me a call and was like, "Hey man, you want to come back?" I was like, "Let me check my calendar. Yeah, sure. Yeah, let's do." I was like, "Yeah." I was like, "Hell yeah, dude." So yeah, I rejoined the band, and I guess that was like late 2018, or no, it was like early 2019, I think, at that point. And then yeah, I haven't left since. I'm still there, and it's been a freaking dream and a roller coaster and everything in between ever since. So
Dude, man, can you name off like some of the, like your favorite Offspring songs that you enjoy playing? You know what? Hold on.
oh boy.
Let me rephrase that. On each instrument that you do, like
Oh God.
what is your favorite guitar? What is your favorite playing drums on? What is playing on keyboards? You see the picture, man. Go ahead.
Okay, for sure. Wow. Oh
All
man.
right.
Okay, I like that. You threw me a curveball. I like it. Ooh, interesting. Well, I'm gonna say right off the bat, number one favorite song. I loved the song before I'd even joined the band. Come Out and Play is like just it's just a banger. Like to me, that is one of the most like timeless, most awesome punk rock songs ever. Like I'm being I know I might be a little biased, but every night, I've played that song probably thousands of times now, and I never get sick of it. Never get sick of Come Out and Play. It's just so fun. It's got a groove, but it's still really punk rock. So there's that one on guitar and vocals as backup vocals. I love that one. And as far as keys, you know, I used to play Gone Away on keys, which I really did like playing because it was kind of, you know, it was the piano version. You know, we brought the dynamic down. We used to do it that way. We don't do it much like that anymore because now it's just Dexter with the piano. But I love playing that. And Want You Bad as well, I play on keys. So I really love playing that one too. And then for percussion, it's going to be a tiebreaker between Original Prankster, which is like a super percussion driven song. I know you and I have grooved hard on that one.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
So that's a fun one. Really fun. Cause that one, I'm like, I'm all over the place. Like bongos, congas, weirdo, cowbell, the splash cymbal, the vibra slap, and then guitar. So I jumped to guitar as well. So that one's really fun. I love that. That one's like a big challenge and it's super fun. And then, is there another, but I'm trying to think if there's another instrument. You know, there's Get a Job, I'm doing the toms or whatever, but yeah, I would have to say for all the instruments that would be. And then when I've been on the drum kit, we've done, what was it? We played This Is Not Utopia.
Oh,
which was really fun. That's a new one off the last record. Yep. Really fun to play. We debuted that one together in the acoustic set. Actually, that was the first time we had ever played that live. The band had never played it live, which was really fun. So yeah, remember we didn't even rehearse. It's just like you had played it on drums already. Right. I had not, but I knew it, and I was like, you know, we'll see where it goes. But it was so fun. That was really fun. So I like that one was fun on the full drum, you know, acoustic drum kit thing. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that might be it. Yeah, I'm sure there's more, but you know, yeah.
Man, can I just say, this dude also, when I got to play with the Offspring, this dude actually kicked my ass on parts for with me and John. Man, these guys got on me, but I loved it though because they're specific parts. For the Offspring songs, you just can't play what you want. You know, you got to play what's on the record. So let's do it. This dude knew all the parts for drums. And I was just blown away how much he knew all the parts. Even for guitars. I mean, like, I'm sure you knew all the bass stuff too. I'm sure, you know, but thank you.
I was being a total backseat driver and you were amazingly patient. No, and it, you know, and that was the thing, because I remember, like, when we, you know, because I know, like, when I was even getting ready for the acoustic gigs, you know, Dexter is so specific about bass drum patterns and snare drum patterns and all this stuff, and it's exactly what you said. You know, the joke I've even made with him when I'm like learning guitar parts too is like, wow, like this is really specific, you know, for punk, you know, but it makes sense, you know, because it's got to be tight. And he wrote the bass lines, you know, or guitar lines a certain way, and the bass stuff goes. So, like, it totally makes sense, you know? And that's why, like, when we worked together, I knew Dexter was going to, you know, be very, like, on it. And so that's why John and I were like, let's us three meet up,
right?
You know, just to give you a little, like, you know, a little, like, heads up, you know? Because, like, oh, my God, it's like, dude, yeah, it's exactly what you said. You cannot just play anything you want. Like, you know, he'll stop me the minute I play a wrong note. Like, even if I'm playing the right note but I'm strumming it differently, you know, it's like, it's so like, it's like, no, it's not down down down, it's down down up. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, like really specific. And most people think like, oh, that wouldn't matter, but like it does. And we were swinging, dude. I mean, like that show, the Tabernacle in Atlanta, probably one of the best shows I've felt that we've ever played. I mean, it was just, oh my God. And it was, but that was it. You know, you had played the parts so many times at that point, you know, having already played some of the shows with us, it was just like, once it locks in and those parts are exactly where they're at, you kind of go, ah, now I get why he's so specific, you know? And yeah, but I'm sorry. I was a total backseat driver, just sitting there like,
dude.
You know,
right. I was like, nah, that wasn't right. It's like this, dude. You know, so
I know. Like, I remember, like, I think it was like Gotta Get Away or something. Like, we talked about that chorus part for so long. No, it's not do do da do do da. It's do da do do da do do da do 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 da, like just, you know, right, drum speak. You know, we're sitting there going back and forth. I wish someone had recorded our conversations. It like probably sound like, you know, just fools. But you know, hey, you know, we made it happen, dude, and you killed it every single one. It was,
thank
and
you, man.
Can't thank you enough. No, I can't, and dude, can't thank you enough for
so
for
much
making
fun.
It happen. You owned it. Oh, dude, it was
thank
rad.
You, man. This is a total fun band, to even play with. That's, and you guys have fun on these shows, man. It is so much fun. I love, you know, what Noodles does during the set, you know, like, you know, with his fuck yes and
yeah. Oh, that's one of the best. Oh my god. Well, you know, so he got that from Freddie Mercury, you know, the whole, you know, ayo kind of thing.
Yeah.
And that, because I think one night we were talking about it, like, you should do the ayo, like, just use it for, you know, who cares if like Freddie Mercury did it already? You can just use it. And without telling a soul, didn't tell anyone, he just gets on the mic and does, fuck yeah, fuck yeah. And it was like, oh my god, it totally caught me by surprise in front of, you know, 10,000 people or whatever. And right, it just went off. It was amazing. It totally worked. So, no, it's fun. They're fun guys. You know, they're so fun. And they love playing music. You can just tell. It's you know the deal. Like, we had a lot of fun rehearsing and playing together. And it's really like a breath of fresh air because, you know, sometimes I feel like in certain gigs, people kind of like, it can get a little, you know, very, what's the word? Just kind of like overly technical. And, you know, it's a job for sure. Like, it's a lot of work, definitely, no doubt about it. But like, these guys are really having fun. They clearly love doing what they do. And Noodles, you know, just is a hilarious dude. And Dexter is just a brilliant front man. And
yes, he is.
You know, they're so great. It's a dream. It really is a dream getting to have done what we've done with them, do what we do, you know.
Today's episode is brought to you by our sponsor, E-Record Studio, the new way musicians rehearse, record, and share their E-Record sessions on social media. Visit ERS on erecordstudio.com. Download this amazing app on Google and Apple apps stores. What's next for Offspring? Are you allowed to talk about it?
well, so I can tell you they're working on a new record. That's all I can say. That's all I know as of now, but they've let it be known. They're jumping back in and cranking out some more songs, and I've heard about three and a half, I would say, because a couple of them are like demos and whatnot, and it's gonna be cool. They're upping the ante quite a bit. A lot of really sick riffs, and it's pretty heavy. So that I know for sure, they're starting to crank out, and you know, we've got this really big run coming up with Simple Plan that we're going to do in Canada for 5 weeks, which will be really, really fun. I'm looking forward to that. And then after that, we'll be in Australia with Sum 41, which will be awesome. We've toured with them numerous times, and they're amazing and really fun dudes. So that is just going to be, you know, that's going to be super, super awesome. And then beyond that, you know, I think they're in the studio just cranking it out, and you know, they cannot be stopped. They can't be stopped, you know. So I'm here for the ride, you know, wherever they're headed, man. I'm just happy to be here. So
I'm lucky that I get to sit on the throne for Offspring, but you guys have a legendary drummer back there named Mr. Josh Freeze.
Who? Yeah. Oh, that guy. Oh, yeah.
You know that guy. You know that guy. That guy.
Yeah, that guy. That guy.
You know, that guy.
Yeah, that right. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That guy. Yeah.
How's it feel to be in a band like with that dude? Legend dude.
I mean, dude, it's like, look, like, getting to having, I will say, in the last year and a half, And just being in this band in general, like, I've gotten to play with some of the best drummers on this planet, you being one of them,
oh,
obviously.
Thank God.
Oh, come on, don't be ridiculous. No way, dude. Oh, my God. It's like, literally, like, between you and Josh, and we had Jamie, you know, from Bad Religion, filling as well, and it's just like, this is the fucking dream. Like, you know, and as a drummer especially, I'm like, this fucking rules, you know? Like, I really, like, it's so cool to having gotten to play with all you guys, and for sure with Josh, you know, I mean, he's a monster. The legends are true about him. Everything you've heard, it's true. Like, he's unbelievable. His timing is impeccable. He's got stories up the wazoo. He's blowing my mind every day. Like, I've learned so much from him just by getting to watch him play and, you know, getting to play with him and bounce off each other. And it's rad. He's such a rad, interesting, great human drummer person all across the board. And you know, and I joke with him because Guitar Center, you know, that place where we both used to work once upon a time.
Yep.
You know, I used to sell hardware with that guy's face on it, and now I get to be in a band with him, and I'm like, damn, this is cool, you know? So
that's super sick though, man. That's awesome.
it's pretty funny. It's funny how life comes, you know, comes full circle in these weird, weird ways. And, you know, I've been listening to Josh and watching him play since I was a kid. And, you know, I saw him with Weezer when I was like in middle school. And, you know, I've seen A Perfect Circle somewhere at some festival, and Devo, of course. And, you know, it's just like, oh my God, you know, it's such a trip. And, you know, we're on a tour bus together, and he's just got such amazing stories and great insight. Like, I've learned so much. I mean, from all you guys, you know, getting to play with you and Josh, just like hearing about all the experiences, it's like, gives me a lot to look forward to, you know, with what I'm doing here, you know. And it's just awesome. It's just been awesome across the board, for sure.
Dude, that's awesome, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, man, crazy.
Can I just have you ever been experience where you met a famous dude and they weren't the dude that you thought there was going to be? Like, have you met anybody like that?
Well, yes, I have. The first one that comes to mind was the time I met Glenn Danzig in a parking lot, like of a grocery store right near where I live, actually, here on the west side of LA. Huge Misfits fan. I mean, you can see, obviously, right there. You know, grew up on them. My first tattoo was a Misfits skull. I was like obsessed with Danzig, and, you know, in middle school. And, you know, he was one of my first favorite singers. Like, I started singing and started my own band because of the Misfits. I just loved how, you know, simple and lo-fi, and just, you know, it just spoke to me. And he has such a great voice. So it was kind of a weird circumstance. I was like, supposed to have like a lunch with a fan, like, well, with my sister. And I was like 18 or 19 years old, and we had gotten into some like weird arguments. So I was like, I'm leaving. I'm going to go to the Japanese grocery store and get food there. Like, we're not doing lunch anymore. So I left the house and I pull into this parking lot, and who's walking out with groceries? Glenn Danzig.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my God. You know, I was like, I was 19 at the time, for sure. And I freaked. I was like, what the hell? So like, I was just, you know, he's truly one of my heroes. And I knew the reputation. I was a little scared to approach him because I know he can be a little rough around the edges, you know, or whatever. And so I threw my car into park and walked right up to him. And I remember I was such an idiot. I was like, Mr. Danzig, I just wanted to say I'm a big fan. I called him Mr. Danzig, which was really lame. But he was really nice. He was super nice. He goes, oh, you know, thanks, man. Thank you. And he had these groceries. And I was like, do you need help with that? Like, do you need a hand? He goes, actually, yeah, would you mind? And so I helped him load groceries into his Jaguar. And
wow.
We talked music for like probably 45 minutes, maybe, and had like a whole hang, and he was really nice, totally gave me the time of day. Like, we talked, you know, Metallica, we talked Misfits and Danzig and Samhain and all that stuff, you know, his record label and, you know, Plan 9 or what, you know, his, or Evil Live, all that stuff. Like, just, yeah. It was just, you know, I was such a nerd. I was just like, I had so many questions, and he totally gave me the time of day. And, you know, wow. I took a photo. Yeah, I took a picture with him. I'm just a little kid, like, smiling like a total fool. And, you know, and like I said, I was, you know, normally I know he can be a little rougher on the edges, but he was really nice, totally gave me the time of day and was super appreciative. And so that was shocking to me. And when I tell people that story, they're like, wow, that's so cool. He was so nice, you know? And so that's one that really comes to mind for sure. I'm trying to think of who else. I mean, you know, I've had a few funny experiences. Like, I've met Dave Mustaine a few times, which was interesting. It went exactly as I expected, as one would. he was you know, he was Dave Mustaine. No, he was cool. Yeah. He was actually really cool. He was, Danzig was really the big one, because I was just like, I just couldn't believe that he gave me such cool insight and info. He even asked me like if I was in a band and was just really nice. He was really personable. It was really surprising. I just didn't, you know, normally it's like, yeah, I'll take the picture, get out, move on with your day. But, you know, I was helping him load up groceries from the Japanese grocery store that I was going to, and he was walking out of. So it was totally meant to be. And, you know, and it was really a rad experience. And, you know, they say, don't meet your heroes, you know, and I can totally understand. Sometimes, you know, these are people too, they're humans. Who knows what what anybody's going through at any given moment. So, like, you know, you never knew, but he was really nice and very thankful for that experience. Definitely caught me by surprise for sure.
So nobody was a complete dick to you or anything like that?
You know, I've gotten pretty lucky, I guess, you know, like, not really, you know, like, even, like I said, Dave Mustaine, like, he invited me to be in a menage a trois with him. Which was kind of weird, but I think he was joking, I hope. But that was him. Yeah. That was the weirdest it ever got. He wasn't rude. It just was like, interesting. I've gotten really lucky, and a lot of the people I look up to, like, mostly, like, seem like pretty kind, you know, people, you know, like, I got to, you know, like, when I toured with the band Stone Sour and got to work with Corey Taylor, who was one of my heroes growing up, you know, I love awesome. Slipknot, and he is just, and we're still really good friends to this day, and he's just a total, like, just amazing, talented, sweet dude. And so, you know, and like Randy as well from Lamb of God, grew up listening to him, and like one of the nicest guys. And like, it's just so cool. And I love that in the metal world, these people who literally write some of the most aggressive, angry music are like some of the sweetest, most down to earth humans, you know? And I've gotten really lucky. Seriously. Like, I can't think of anyone I've met who was like rude or mean. Like, you know, like, I met John Doe from X, and he was super nice, really sweet. Like, everyone's just been really, really cool, you know? And, you know, but also I'm not like running up to these people being like, can I get a picture? You know, I'm not trying to like wreck their day. Like, I really get like, these are humans with lives and, you know, their own shit they're dealing with. So, you know, but I just have a lot of respect for these people I've gotten to meet. And I've been very, very lucky that they've been, you know, I've caught them in a good moment, you know, most times. So,
Dude, man, I was just about to ask, can you tell our listeners, about what other bands that you have, been in, that's been on the road and whatnot?
For sure. Yeah. So I did a brief stint with Stone Sour, which I had mentioned. That was a really, really awesome big tour. It was while they were touring the Hydrograd album, which was their last record. And great, it was really album, fun. Yeah. Oh, such a good album. Yeah, oh my God. It was such
great
a
album.
Dude. Yeah. And it was like such a good, like, I know they like were really like relevant and making it happen for years, but that record like brought them kind of like like, I feel like I was just seeing them everywhere at that point. And they were on tour for like 3 years, I want to say, straight. And so I toured with them and met Roy, their drummer, who's become a good friend of mine, and Martucci, who's their guitarist. He's the reason I did the tour. I've known him for a long while. And Johnny Chow, of course, amazing human, and Corey. And so it was really, that was really fun. You know, I did some brief stints with a band called Fuel. They were a rock band. Yeah. I played with Fuel for about on and off for about a year and a half, actually, kind of in between the window when I first did the Offspring run, and then like the window when I wasn't with the band and then rejoined, I was playing with Fuel for about a year. Yeah.
Those are some good rock songs, man.
Dude, they were, man. It's funny. Like, I, as soon as I was learning the set list, I was like, oh yeah, I know that one. Oh, I remember that one too. And that one, and that one, and that, you know, it's like, dude, it's like MTV, K-Rock, like 98.7, whatever it was, like throughout the 90s and 2000s, they had some bangers for sure.
Yes, they did.
And they were really fun. They were fun to tour with. Brett Scallions, the singer, was super rad and really nice, and Phil Buckman, their bassist, I became good friends with as well, and Shannon Boone, their drummer. It was really fun, and that, so I did that a lot off and on. But you know, kind of in between all that, I was like, you know, playing with some other more indie acts and doing my own band. I had a band called Furiosa. I still work with. We haven't put out much. I've just been really busy with the Offspring for the last few years, but I've done that thing. It was mostly, you know, Stone Sour, Fuel, and the Offspring have been kind of the more like, you know, like rock bands, you know, out there doing the touring thing I've gotten to play with, which is, you know, great experiences all across the board. Really a lot of really good learning experiences, and, you know, kind of cut my teeth getting to like play with these amazing bands, you know, which was really cool. So
man, that's awesome, dude. Man, that's killer. That is.
Yeah, thank you.
You know, man, you blow me away on a few. I didn't know you were, you know, that you played with them, man. That's sick.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was more of a sub on that one, but I was a consistent sub because their usual guy was pretty busy with other things. So I probably played somewhere between like 60 to 75 shows with them all across the states. And it was a lot of fun playing with those guys, a lot of fun venues. You know, we went, you know, as far as the East Coast through the South, and, you know, up North, like Northwest, all over the place. You know, it was really fun getting to be on the road with those guys. And, but the day came, yeah, we had to, you know, I got asked to rejoin the Offspring and had to go do that full time. But Fuel was rad. It was fun. And those songs, like you said, it took me back big time. I was like, oh my God, like these were some bangers, you know?
Yeah, they were. Sure. They were.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I jump to another subject?
Please.
Based on your hobbies, and I know this, and I've seen a lot of your work, your art. You're an amazing artist. I want people to check out your Instagram. If you don't mind me plugging that, about your drawings that you have drawn. Can I say like which one are you like most proud of, or is there several that you're proud of?
Man, well, first off, thank you for saying all those very wonderful, kind things. Wow. I mean, it's so nice of you. God, you're just making me blush, bro. All this whole time, I'm just perpetually red.
We got to talk about your work, man. I mean, because, man, that like some of that work is like, that makes sense. No, that makes sense too. And yeah, you know, so especially during when we had the certain president in so I love the artwork, man. So
yeah, well, thank you. Thank you. No, man, I appreciate that. And yeah, so you know, I've as far as the drawings, you know, I've sort of taken a little bit of a breather from the political drawings, mainly because, you know, it got to this point where, like, well, first off, Donald Trump is not our president anymore.
Right.
And a lot of my material, you know, I mean, there's still plenty of shit to draw about for sure, you know, but it was easy. He gave me a lot of material to work with on an almost daily basis. It was really right. easy to just, you know, make him just into a heinous monster, you know, because right. he did it all himself. But regardless, yeah, I mean, you know, I kind of bounced, like, I started out doing mostly like horror movie theme stuff, you know, and yeah, like I drew, like, you know, Dracula and Frankenstein, and, you know, one of my favorites that I did, and actually Roy Mayorga, my buddy who I've mentioned, has the original of the Babadook I drew. The Babadook was a horror movie that came out, God, almost like 8 years ago, maybe now. Really good, like, indie horror movie, super spooky. It's a beautiful movie. It's, oh yeah, you should check it out. It's a really, yeah, it's beautiful. I mean, it's a pretty freaky, but it's really heartfelt, really amazing message. So that's one drawing that I did. But Roy was like the perfect person to have it, because he and I love that movie. Like, we bonded over that movie. So that's definitely one of my faves. And then I've had a few others, like, you know, I did a drawing of Rush Limbaugh when he died, getting sucked off by a Nazi and a KKK member. I got a few death threats on that one, and that was like, oh man, I gotta rethink what I'm doing here, you know. But that was kind of
wow.
Fun. Oh wow. Yeah, I didn't hold back on that one. He was vile. He was fucking vile. I could give a shit. But that one might be one of my I'm pretty proud of that one. It was pretty disgusting, but that's kind of the point, you know. And but, you know, I might step back into the political cartoon thing at some point. You know, it's just I'm kind of disillusioned by a lot of what's going on these days. And,
yeah,
you know, there's just so much, and there's so many layers to the problems that we do have in this country. And it's not like, you know, I'm trying to be non-political, because we have there are so many issues. Like I've said before, I want to, you know, be a part of anything to make it better in the grand scheme, which is hard because we're really divided. We have a huge, huge polarizing issue with our country. So, but, you know, I like to doodle, like, Halloween stuff, like I said. So, you know, you can see all my artwork on my Instagram, or I have another Instagram account called Boredom Sketches that you can check out, which I'll send to you. Yeah. You know, I haven't posted there much recently because I kind of merged it with just my personal account, because, like, you know, just like I more people see it there. But I'll send you that
okay.
link, and you can check some of it out. But yeah, we'll see. I might return. I definitely want to do a comic at some point. It's like kind of my dream to illustrate a comic. So I've done little strips here and there, but, you know, at some point when I find the time, you know, it's whenever I can. It's very time consuming, but I would love to do like a comic strip. I've had a story I've been developing for like the last 10 years that I've like really wanted to make into like a really serious, like, 3-volume like graphic novel kind of thing. So
really?
Yeah. So we'll see, you know, it's a lot of time, and I don't want to half ass it. So I've got to like sort it out and, you know, make sure it, you know, just make sure it's right. So someday, man, I'll get there.
Would you do an anime on it?
Oh, hell yeah, for sure.
Yeah?
Oh yeah. It kind of calls for that, because it's like, it's sort of in the style of, like, you know, stuff like Akira, or, you know, it's like very, you know, kind of post-apocalyptic, but it's very sci-fi, but horror. And it's like, if, like, the way to describe it, just the little bits I've done, it's like Akira meets Deadpool meets Saw meets Star Wars. Ooh. It's kind of a lot of examples.
Wow.
Blade Runner, a little, like, you know, like very, very like dystopian, post-apocalyptic, but the protagonist is sort of an otherworldly character who you know, takes justice into their own hands and does it in a very, very, very violent fashion, because why the fuck not, you know? Right. So we'll see. Yeah, we'll see where that goes. Yeah.
Dude, I would love to see that, especially like in an anime, like, you know what I mean? Like that would be really cool, man. That would be super cool. I mean, like you just mentioned Akira. Like, was there any other anime like stuff that you were into?
Oh yeah, I mean, growing up, you know, I loved Bleach. I read the manga, I watched the show. I love that. I loved Naruto. I loved One Piece was another one. I loved One Piece, which was great. You know, those are definitely not as like insane, you know, as like something like Akira. And Alita was a big one. I really loved Alita as well. So good. Oh my God. It's like one of my favorites. Alita's so good. I'm looking at my bookshelf. I'm trying to remind myself if there's anything else on there. But oh yeah. And of course, there was one specific one I loved. I mean, of course, Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z I loved. I read all those and watched the show. And Akira Toriyama did a one-off called Sandland, which is like one of my favorite. It actually is kind of what inspired me to sort of start this whole thing. It's a one-off story. And it's basically about the devil's son, is basically living in this post-apocalyptic world. It's kind of like Mad Max almost. It's like Mad Max and the devil. It's really interesting. And he's the son of Satan, and he like basically needs to help end this corruption of this king hoarding water and, you know, in a dried up world. And I loved that one. That one kind of got the wheels turning of like, God, I'd love to develop something like this, you know, of my own. Or, you know, so that's a big one I really liked. I'm, you know, Trigun was great too. I've read Trigun, and God, there's so many good ones, you know, and Attack on Titan and Full Metal Alchemist, and
yeah,
you know, clearly, I can nerd out on this stuff for hours, probably.
Dude, yeah. Man, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, man.
I mean, love that stuff. That's super awesome, man. I appreciate anime myself. I wish I got into it more. I wish I was still drawing. But you know, like, yeah, I used to draw a little bit.
Right, mentioned that, yeah. But right.
I ain't nothing like what you were putting out there, man. That's just super sick. Were putting out there, man. You know, so I wanted to talk about which your art. Would you see any of that art being like displayed with Offspring?
Oh man. Well, so actually there was one tour we did where I animated the Offspring logo, because we had that, you know, you remember that big circular kind of like LED screen on our like UK run. And yeah, so you know, a few times I've like thrown drawings into the mix, being like, "Hey, like Dex, what do you think of this?" And most of the time he's totally been into it, and it's just finding a place of where we can fit it all in. And sure enough, we did an animated backdrop. I animated the logo, and we used it for you know, a few moments during the show on that UK run, and it was perfect because it was like a circular thing. And but moving forward, man, I would love to do more artwork for them. Like, you know, maybe they'll let me, you know, illustrate their next album cover. Just throwing it out into the universe, you know,
right?
You know, which I would do in a heartbeat. No, I'd love to for sure. And, you know, as long as it's in the style, and, you know, Dexter has such a specific vision and an idea that whatever I could do to make it right, I would do. And, you know, but yes, for sure. Anytime, if ever the opportunity came about again. Yeah, absolutely.
Man, dude, that's awesome. Is there anything that you want to say for the Offspring fans that they don't know about Jonah Nimoy?
Oh man. Oh my God. Oh my God.
What else can we know about you, man?
What else can you know? Well, you know, I'm a fairly open book, so you know, there's not much else going on up here. No,
yeah, okay.
No, I'm joking. No, I mean, you know, I would just say this is a really interesting time for the band because they went through a lot of big changes over the last few years between Greg and Pete and, you know, putting out more music now. And I really think they want to bring it, you know, as best as they can, more so than ever, which is really cool. And, you know, when I first joined the band, even Todd kind of told me, you know, he's been in the band for like 13 years. He said he was like, you're coming into the band at a very interesting time. You know, this is a pretty unique time. And, you know, the music world, it's anything but dull moments. You know, it's hardly boring for better and for worse on all accounts. But no, I would just say, you know, keep your eyes peeled and your ears open. There's going to be a lot of cool stuff with this band coming up in the next year for sure. And onward. I mean, there's a new kind of fire burning under their butt that I'm sort of witnessing. And I've gotten a lot of cool feedback, you know, having been in the band now for a few years, and I'm being told this is the tightest the band has sounded, and this is the happiest they've been in such a long time. And, you know, and they've had a 30 plus year career, you know, so to hear that is really special and really cool. And I can see that they're really excited for everything that they're working on right now. And they're really upping the ante each time. And I'm just so stoked to be a part of it. And I'm sure the fans have got to be equally, if not more, you know? Yeah. So there's a lot of cool stuff happening. And just all I can say is just be ready, put your dancing shoes on. Right. You know, it's going to be fun. So, yeah.
Bro, I'm gonna miss you and the guys. I'm gonna let you go now. But thank you so much for being on Talk Music, on my show. And I appreciate your time, man. I really do. And I know I've been talking about this for a while that I was gonna interview you, but I'm glad I finally interviewed you, man. So thank you. Dude, thank you from the bottom of my heart, man.
No, my pleasure. And well, thank you. I'm going to miss you too. We are for sure going to hang regardless. Yeah. You know, right. I mean, I know we've both got very busy years ahead. You're going to be out with Adele, which is incredible. I mean, that's like so, so rad. That's going to be awesome. And no, man, dude, thank you so much. And anytime you want to nerd out on some anime or Kiss or whatever, you know, you know where to find me. So,
yeah,
hit me up. You know?
I will. I want to play some more Kiss, man. You know, so
yeah,
you know, like, dude, you know, like, man, it's fun jamming with you on that, man. You know, so
yeah, man, right back at you. No, man, and thank you, really, thank you for having me as well. I really appreciate it. It's been great hanging as always.
No problem, man. Sir, take it easy.
All right, man.
All right,
you
man.
Too.
All right, later.
Until
on.
Next time.
Thank you.
See you.
Until next time. All right. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the third guitarist that's in Offspring, my good friend, Jonah Nimoy. Today's episode is brought to you by our sponsor, E-Record Studio, the new way musicians rehearse, record, and share their E-Record sessions on social media. Visit ERS on erecordstudio.com. Download this amazing app on Google and Apple App Stores.
Visit us on www.talkmusicpodcast.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Download our podcast on Apple, Google, Amazon, and Spotify.